The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, November 27th, 2023.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Wow, what a cold morning it was today in Sonoma County. It's amazing how the weather keeps changing, and I understand tonight is a full moon, and I'm really looking forward to that. Last night we saw the moon as we were walking, and it was just beautiful. Anyway, I'm really honored today. Joining me in the studio is retired attorney Nancy Pemberpertens, who is a member of the Committee for Law Enforcement Accountability, and now Clean. It's called Clean. Is that what it's called? Clean. It's like clean everything up. And right now I understand that she's just been promoted to vice chair of the Community Advisory Council of Independent Officers Enforcement Review and Outreach, IOLERO. And we're going to talk about that. We'll be talking about the Clean Committee, IOLERO, and some of the things that are happening within the organization itself, and kind of get new information, because we had Measure P, and now it solidified IOLERO, and all kinds of different things have been going on, and I'm really interested this morning to be able to talk about it. Well, we just survived Thanksgiving. I'll tell you something. I felt like a big stuffed turkey myself after it was all over. But we had an amazing, amazing event at my house. And, it was very, very interesting, because I hope folks remember last Monday, I interviewed Madonna Feather Cruz, who is a Native American. And she actually attended the Alcatraz occupation that happened on Thanksgiving morning. I couldn't believe it that they get up at 4:30 in the morning to go to Alcatraz. That's pretty cold. And it was really interesting after we had the conversation, and I actually, a friend of mine by the name of Mary Norman, she suggested that I watch this this film called Before America, which was about the young children that were they found buried in this, I think it was, what was it, like a nunnery, or what do they call those places, Ken, when they have nuns and priests, when they live there, the school, it was a school for young children.
Boarding school.
It was a boarding school, and a Native American boarding school, and I could not believe what they did to these children. I mean, they were trying to take away their language, their traditions, you name it. So after I interviewed Feather Cruz, I thought to myself, I got to do something different for Thanksgiving. And so what I did was I made a little card for my whole family, and I gave them a copy of the Native American Ten Commandments, and I'm going to read that in a few seconds. But what I want to do is, before I do that, I want to send a big hug across the airways to my granddaughter, Caitlin B. Jensen, a.k.a. Katie. The B is for Beverly. She's named out. That's my middle name is Beverly. So Caitlin Beverly, a.k.a. Katie, and her wonderful fiancé, Trevor Elliott. I can't believe my granddaughter's going to be getting married on October 5th. It was really a joy, and we got to spend Thanksgiving with them and just have a wonderful time. But also, we were very excited. We got to visit with them yesterday, and Katie was telling me she's getting married on October 5th and telling me about, trying on all the wedding dresses, and I thought to myself, what a blessing. Thank to the creator to giving me the blessing of having a granddaughter and now two great-granddaughters. So, I mean, it really is a blessing. So I'm really excited. I'm really excited to be able to read the Native American Ten Commandments. And I think it's very important because we're all looking for something. I mean, we have a Bible that we violate those Ten Commandments. And let's look at the Ten Commandments of the Native Americans. Okay, the first commandment, very simple. Treat the earth and all that dwells thereon with respect. 2, remain close to the Great Spirit. 3, show respect for your fellow beings. In other words, you know, why are we warring? I mean, think about it, how destructive it is. I mean, I hit my leg the other day, and man, it hurt. And I thought to myself, it's enough that you have all this pain and all these challenges on everyday living. Why do we have to have war? You know, and it show respect for your fellow beings. My goodness. Work together for the benefit of all mankind. I would change that. I'd say humankind. Give assistance and kindness wherever needed. Do what you know is right. Know what you do is right. And I really believe we all know what's right. To harm one another, we know is not right, but we still do it, so it's kind of interesting. 7, look after the well-being of mind and body. 8, dedicate a share of your efforts for greater good. 9, be truthful. I love this one. Be truthful and honest at all times. I mean, right now, no wonder people are getting depressed. We don't even know what's true anymore. So it's really important. Be truthful and honest at all times. And number 10, and this is what we're talking about on the airways, morning, noon, and night. It's called accountability. 10, take full responsibility for your actions. That's when you're accountable. You know, that's why we have oversight committees. That's why we have regulations. That's why we have all these things so people can become accountable. You know, what we just want to have chaos. Oh, you can do it your way. No, I'll do it my way. And also, people are talking about revolution. Are they crazy? You can go to the French Revolution. You can see what happened there. You can go to the Russian Revolution, and they turned into communists. We have a constitution. We have a Bill of Rights. We have things in place in this country, to me, that are marvelous. I mean, I can't help myself but think it's marvelous. You know, my people came over from Poland and Russia, where they had horses coming into their villages with men riding on them and killing the children and telling them, get out of the country. When they came to this country, it was like my grandmother told me, the first thing when she got off that boat on Ellis Island, the first thing she did was kiss the ground. So there's a lot to be thinking about. You know, but I like this, and I'm going to be posting this Ten Commandments, the Native American Ten Commandments, on our website, www.womenspaces.com. And I want to tell you a little secret. Ken and I have it in our kitchen. We have a big poster, and I read that every single morning just to remind me. You know, we all have egos. We all forget all those different things. But just to remind me that we live on a planet and to respect it and that we live with other human beings to respect them and value who they are. Well, this is the last Monday of the month, you know, and we do our Women's Spaces Pledge. And I'm really excited that I have two people in the room with me. And so they'll be able to do the pledge with me. And then also we'll do our History is Our Strength. And I think that's very, very important, you know, when you start thinking about our history as our strength. But I do have two announcements here to make that I think are very important. First of all, this is my favorite thing. And why is it my favorite thing? Because I know my friend Kim Tripp-Smith is going to be performing. It's going to be on December 2nd and 3rd. And that's the Goddess Crafts Festival. It happens every year. And it's really a chance for women to come out and to just like, you know, hey, strut your stuff, so to speak. You know, because we are goddesses. You know, we are the ones who bring forward life. If there's not one person on this planet that did not come through a woman, you know, so, I mean, that is a real fact, you know, and why shouldn't we be treated as a goddess? We have the mystery of the whole universe in our bodies. It's amazing. And here at one point, you know, when you're looking at this, when I was looking at this Native American film, America Before, you know, the settlers landed, I was thinking to myself, my God, what a beautiful people. They wore costumes and they had different dances. And I couldn't believe that the dances were made illegal. And they tried to stop them from speaking their own language. It's amazing. And who suffers the most? Women and children. Women and children. So I really encourage you, support the Goddess Festival. It's an amazing, amazing event that's going to be happening December 2nd and 3rd, 2023. And it's going to be at the Sebastopol Community Center. And like I said, everything is listed on www.womenspaces.com. And this is, we're going to be talking about Ayolero, and there's something very, very important coming up, and that's going to be happening. Let me see what the date is here. It's going to be happening from 5 to 7 p.m., and it's going to be both a webinar and in person, and that's going to be December 6th. From 2023, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. That's interesting. December 6th is my sister's birthday. My sister's Evelyn's going to be 79. I can't believe it. But this is going to be happening on December 6th. It's going to be happening at nothing other than the Finley Center in the Manzananza Room at the Finley Center, 2060 West College Avenue in Santa Rosa. And it's going to be a town hall. You know, listening session regarding the district attorney's report on some of the decisions that we're going to be talking about today, and also on Sonoma County, Deputy Patrick for the fatal shooting of David Perez, you know, they're going to be talking about that. So it's very important. And when Nancy and I start talking during the interview, we'll talk a little bit about this, give you just a little bit more detail. But once again, that's going to be on www.womenspaces.com. Oh, my goodness. I think that's amazing, a town hall. You know, town halls, we live in a democracy. You know, town halls help people understand what's going on and what's going on in the world. Okay, well, let's get into this real quickly. I think it's the last Monday of the month. I like to do the Women's Spaces Pledge, and then we'll do a short, our history is our strength. Okay, so let's go ahead and do that Women's Spaces Pledge. Are you okay, Ken? Here we go. Like I've said before and told people many, many times, the pledge was I wrote for my grandson, Ryan Jensen. He came out of his nursery and crying his eyes out. And I said, Ryan, what's the matter? And he said, my teacher told me I'm a bad boy. And I thought, no, Ryan, you're not a bad boy. You're just a little boy. You know, you're just a little boy doing all kinds of things. And I said, I made up this pledge, and that was it. So I'm going to ask Ken, who's trying to fix our equipment here. He's trying to fix these giving. Okay, I don't blame you, Ken. You know, we're live in the studio here. Everything goes on in an instant. You never know. So I'm going to repeat one line, and Nancy, if you don't mind joining me, and Ken, if you would join me, I would really appreciate it. And why, oftentimes I say this, you know, this is just kind of a hokey little thing when you think about it. But when it comes to women, you know, one of the things that, you know, we did the Marianne Williamson, by the way, I want to do a shout out for everybody. When I did the Marianne Williamson a presentation on Zoom by the National Organization for Women and also by Women's Spaces, one of the things that came across very clearly to me, and that is it is very important that we stand up. We stand up for the future of our children. We stand up for ourselves, for our own bodies. We have a right to choose. We have a right to choice. You know, and also what I was thinking also this weekend, especially after watching that thing around the Native American and what they did to those children, in the Bible itself, we call ourselves Christians. I mean, we call ourselves a Christian nation, you know, one nation under God. You know, we pledge allegiance to the United States of America, you know, one nation under God. In the Bible, it says we're all created in God's image. Well, if we are Christians and we believe in the Bible, why are we such racists? When we're all mourning God's image. It's an interesting phenomena to me. So there's a lot to think about. So the pledge is kind of a way to kind of just open yourself up to recognizing that your self-esteem, it's yours. It's like our theme song, the woman in your life is you, you know, that energy, all those things that you came through. So let's go ahead. I'm going to say one line and then you repeat after me. Is that okay? Okay. My self-esteem
does not depend
on anything
outside of me.
My self-esteem depends
on my relationship
with myself and my higher power. I love that. My higher power, the creator, the great spirit. You know, Jesus, who cares, you know, this is whatever energy that you believe in. So I'm going to say it one. I'm going to just read the whole thing and then I'm going to have Nancy and Ken read it together with me. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. And, you know, folks, I read that 5 times before I come on the air. So I'm going to ask, we're going to be like a chorus. I'll be the orchestrator, okay? 1, 2, 3. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Oh, give yourself a hand, guys. That is absolutely great. It really is. It really is when I think about it. It just gives me a chill. Well, you know, we're going to move through our history as our strength very quickly. And the first birthday I'm going to talk about is happy birthday to November 28th, 1881 was the first organizational meeting held for the predecessor groups to the American Association of University Women, AAUW. And what is so important about this to me is because we actually have a chapter here in Sonoma County. So it would be very, very important, I think, for you ladies out there who want to participate, you want to join. The AAUW is a great organization. They provide scholarships and support for women who are going to college. I'm pretty sure you need a college degree when I was looking at it, I think you can also have certificates. So people can join the AAUW, I believe, as long as that you have some sort of education. And then the second birthday, which I think is just amazing, was November 26, 1832, when she made her transition in 1919. And the reason these women are so important is because she's born in 1832, I mean, women were considered property by at that time, makes her transition in 1919. So she goes through this whole circle of issues around women's issues. And so that was Mary Walker. She was a women's rights advocate. And this is so cute. This is the funniest thing. She adopted the bloomer dress reform in 1850s. And she won the Congressional Medal of Honor for services in the Civil War, including treating patients in the South, an active suffragette, and she left medicine after the war. But what's so interesting about her is that she started this whole rage about women wearing pants. And it was bloomers, and it's called rational dress for women advocated. They were advocating that women could wear, and it's so cute. I'm looking at the picture, and I'm going to put the picture on Women's Spaces. She's got a dress on, but she's got, like, pants on underneath because they couldn't just wear, like, we wear pants and a top. Like, you know, Nancy's wearing pants. I'm wearing pants. I think the minute pants became legal for us, I don't think I stopped wearing them. So this will be on the Women's Spaces website. Now, another birthday, which I think is interesting, she was born in 1832 and made her transition in 1888 on November 29th, and that was Louisa May Alcott. She was the author of Little Women. And, you know, it was very interesting. When I saw she was the author of Little Women, I said to myself, what was Little Women all about? You know, and really it was showing that women had a right to have choice and that they were questioning all these different things, and that was some women were considered good, some women were considered, hey, what are you, you know, you're kind of pushing the bell here, you know, and it's not a good idea. So it was all about women and women's rights, and I'm going to watch the movie now after this with that idea, because I had no idea what it meant. So happy birthday to Louisa May Alcott. And in her day, to have a book published like this and to be as popular as it was another indicator of how women were struggling and how they needed a voice at that time. And we finally got the voice, finally got the vote in 1920, and here we are in 2023, and what are they trying to do? Take away every right that we've gained. Amazing. Well, our last group here is, she was born November 29th, 1902, made her transition in 1979, and that was Essie Parrish. She was a spiritual and political leader for the Kanana Pomo Indians, famous for their baskets, possessed the gifts of prophecy, and the medicine woman used, hand power to counter illnesses. Now, I thought that was really interesting, hand power. You know, I thought, what the heck is that? So I looked it up, and I found out hand powers, that they would put their hands and they would do prayers on people. And because there was such a strong, you know, we don't have the strong. We have so much information. You know, we know why the water flows. We know what happens in the air. We know all these different things. I mean, they didn't know most of those things back then. And so everything was very mystical and kind of, I would say woo-hoo-y, because there was no medicine like we have today. There was none of those things. And so the idea of this woman putting her hands to counter illness is really, to me, is an amazing thought when I think about it. Well, that's about it. A lot of history. A lot of women who have accomplished some amazing things. You know, we are standing on the shoulders of many, many women. And in today's world, women have to stand stronger than ever, in my mind. I mean, we live in the nuclear age, and we're warring all over the planet. And, you know, war is a choice. You know, just like abortion is a choice. Just like honesty is a choice. Just like being kind and fair is a choice. It's all a choice. You know, and I go back to this whole Christian stuff, you know, the reason I'm going back to it, because it's every time I turn the television on, they're telling me that someone, you know, that Donald Trump is being blessed, you know, he's been chosen by God. And I think, oh, what are they talking about? You know, that old saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. They're racist. They're talking revenge. Well, you know, that's not what Jesus was all about. And we're coming to the time of when everybody's going to be talking about that, because Christmas is coming up. In fact, on the second Monday of the month, I'm going to have Reverend Patricia Keel, and we're going to do a little bit different perspective on what Christmas is and what it means with the idea of the Prince of Peace being born. I mean, there was an idea that was happening. There was a rebellion happening. There was a hope happening at that time, just like today. You know, we're all hoping and praying that somehow we find our way to peace. And I'll tell you, the first letter in peace is P, and that's persistence. And we have to persist and not give up and never, never, never give up hope, because that's what they want. If you give up hope, then all belief is gone. So it's very important. And that's why the pledge is important, because you're standing up, you're saying, my self-esteem doesn't depend on you. My self-esteem depends on my thoughts, my feelings about myself, and I say no to war. I say yes to taking care of our children in the future, and that takes a lot of courage. And that's why when you do those kind of pledges or you do those things in your mind, it really helps you. And I want to thank all of you out there who are willing to go out in the streets and protest about some of the stuff that's going out. A special shout-out to you, because that, in today's world, takes a lot of courage. I think governments or the people that rule the world or whatever you want to call them, they said when they saw the 60s and they saw what happened, they said, oh, like the never again, you know, we're going to make sure we take care of this. And that's what it looks like today. You know, it looks like today. And we're going to talk about Iolero. And I also wonder, when it comes to the police, don't they realize they're just one of us? I mean, it's kind of interesting. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a musical break. And when we return, joining me in the studio is going to be Nancy Perm-Burton, who is a member of the Committee for Law Enforcement Accountability, now clean. And she is now the vice chair of the Community Advisory Council of Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach. Wow, what a IALERO. And we'll be talking about the Clean Commission and IALERO and some of the things that are going on. And we're also going to take a musical break, and we're going to play a wonderful song by Marcia Griffith called Human Rights. Let's go ahead, Ken. Yes, human rights, amazing, amazing. I think of Eleanor Roosevelt when she's holding that human rights up when they wrote the Declaration of Human Rights for the United Nations. It was after a horrible war and a horrible, horrible Holocaust, thinking that everybody's going to have these human rights. And I don't know, what happens? What happens? Anyway, for you just joining in, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my special guest joining me in the studio, retired attorney Nancy Perm-Burton. Welcome, Nancy. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you very much, Elaine. I'm happy to be here.
And thank you so much for doing the pledge with us.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Well, before we begin, let me tell folks just a few things about you. And, you know, I'm looking at your bio, and I'm just going to do a short paragraph and then fill in for us. You know, this is your second time on Women's Spaces. Oh, your third time. We don't have to be so formal. Well, Nancy Perm-Burton is a retired attorney. She is a member of the Committee for Law Enforcement Accountability, now CLEAN, and the Community Advisory Council for Independent Office of Law Enforcement and Review and Outreach in IALERO. And she has just been,
January, last January.
Oh, in January, she was voted to be the vice chair. And she's retired. So let's talk about that. She retired in 2014. Talk a little bit about that. What does it feel to be retired? And talk a little bit about why you got involved in some of the things. You're involved in some very interesting things. You are part of the Center for Justice and Accountability and the Akhenaten Foundation, plus you are involved with these other two organizations. Talk a little bit about them, how you got involved, and what your motivation was.
When my husband and I moved to Sonoma County in 2014, it was the year after Andy Lopez had been killed. And so there was still a lot in the public eye. The CAIA task force was meeting, and I paid attention to what was going on. And my legal background is in criminal defense, so I'm very interested in criminal justice reform. And in 2020 or 2019, there was an effort to improve IOLERO, which had been put into place in 2016 as an oversight agency to audit the internal affairs investigations of the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office. In 2016, however, when they did that, the Board of Supervisors didn't give IOLERO much power, and they certainly didn't give it very much money. So as a consequence, the people of Sonoma County, many of us, were concerned about bolstering the power and the authority and the funding for IOLERO, and worked to get on the ballot a measure called Measure P. And that measure was voted on by the electorate in November 2020. And here we are, 3 years later, and it's finally being fully implemented this year. So
What do you mean by fully implemented?
So a ballot measure we voted on the ballot measure, and we said we want to give IOLERO all of these powers. The deputies' associations have the right to bargain about how those powers are implemented. And in the first go-around of those negotiations, many of us, felt that the implementation was not robust enough. So this year and a half, the current executive director of IOLERO renegotiated those agreements with the deputies' associations, and we now feel that IOLERO has the authority and the power to do what the ballot measure authorized it to do.
I know at the beginning, the first executive director was a man by the name of Jerry Treat.
Treat.
And I know he did an excellent job, but he could only go so far. And then we had the ballot, then that went even further. There was more protection and more oversight involved. Then we got the new executive director. So I believe his name is John Alden.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. He's part of the Alden from the...
I don't know. We should ask him.
Because we have a friend, Keith Alden, and we know that he is really part of that group that came in. Well, give us some examples of what are some of his accomplishments. Maybe give us one or two. And then there's also right now there's a real controversial that's happening with a gentleman by the name of David Chavez. So there's two things here that are going on. So why don't you talk about his accomplishments? Maybe one or two.
Well, I think that John has done a remarkable job. First of all, just renegotiating those letters of agreement with the Deputies Association was quite an accomplishment and put IOLERO in a much better position to carry out the work that the ballot measure authorized him to do.
So it sounds like he's been empowered more.
Yes, and I think that he has a personality, a quality in his personality that makes it easy to work with him. He listens to people incredibly well. He is concerned about what their point of view is and how to address any of the conflicts that he might have with them or that the community might have with the deputies. And I think he's done an excellent job. The second thing that I think that he has done that I think is just terrific is that he has worked with the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office to develop to agree on what is a complete internal affairs investigation. If you look at the history of the annual reports that have been put out by IOLERO every year since 2016, one of the major complaints has been that the internal affairs investigations were not complete.
Right.
John and the Sheriff's Department have come to an agreement on what it means to have a complete investigation. There is now a checklist that they have agreed to go through. And so we should now see more complete investigations by the Sheriff's Department itself.
Do you think there's a little bit more openness to the department to doing these things, or do you think they're just being forced to do them?
No, I think that we've actually seen an increase in the openness of the Sheriff's Department. I think it's incremental, but I think it is real.
Well, it sounds like oftentimes, and you see this, you know, when you have groups like that are really doing intense work like that, it really makes a big difference when you have somebody who can work with people.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's a real talent, and you don't realize it until you see it in action. You know, it really is. It's interesting. So shout out to Mr. Alden that we're going to find out if you're listening, John. We want to know if your family came over on the Mayflower. we'll talk about this. You know, this month, District Attorney released by the way, I got to tell you something. I must have researched the internet for a half hour. I could not find her name. What is the district attorney's name?
Carla Rodriguez.
Okay, thank you. You know, if anybody's out there, I'm going to call the county and tell them I was trying to find her name. I couldn't even find it in a Press Democrat article. So, I mean, that was just very, very interesting. Well, this month, the district attorney released her decision not to charge Deputy Michael Dietrich in the killing of David Pelez Chavez. I understand there was a rebuttal to the decision from Clean and the NAACP of Sonoma County. Give us a little background about this case. What do you have to say, and what are your feelings? I mean, you're sitting on the CAC. And also, what really came into my mind as I was reading all this stuff, I got an email from Susan Lamond, who gave me the background and information. By the way, Susan Lamond is an activist and very, very involved with IOLERO and kind of, I consider her a watchdog. You know, she really gets the information. And when I saw I thought, what does the district attorney now have to do with IOLERO? So give us a little bit of background there, Nancy.
Okay, and let me say that the opinions that I'm going to express are my opinions and Clean's opinions. The CAC has not looked at officially at the report of Carla Rodriguez and has not come to a position about it. So I'm just putting that out there that I'm speaking now on behalf of myself and on behalf of Clean.
Right, and also, like we say, the opinions addressed here some are not necessarily the opinions. They're your individual appearance, and I really appreciate you saying that. So go ahead.
So, David Pelez Chavez was killed in July of 2022 after a 45-minute chase, after being chased for about 45 minutes by two Sonoma County Sheriff's deputies. He was apparently having mental health issues, may have been having drug problems at the same time. This was in sort of a rural area outside of Healdsburg. He had confronted two different homes and taken two different vehicles. But at the time that he was killed, after running for 45 minutes barefoot through hot, dry country, the two sheriff's deputies got close enough to him. One had a taser. One had his gun out. And they believed that he was a threat to them, and the sheriff who had the gun shot him either two or three times. Three times, I think it was, hitting him once in the head, once in the chest, and grazing his arm. The rationale for doing that is that he had been carrying two garden or field implements in one hand, and he had a rock in the other hand, and the sheriff's deputies were concerned that he was going to throw the rock at him, at them, at one of them, and that that would harm, could seriously harm them.
How big was the rock?
Well, it's a little unclear. Some people say as big as a cantaloupe. It was somewhere probably between a softball and a cantaloupe. We don't know how heavy it was. We have the deputy's assertion that he was 10 to 15 feet away from him. We think that, and I will just say that the state of the law, the current state of the law, is that when law enforcement are going to arrest somebody and have probable cause to arrest them, if the person resists, they do not have to retreat under, that is not a crime for them to go ahead and take whatever efforts are needed to arrest somebody if they legitimately and reasonably fear for their lives.
So they had, one guy had a taser and one guy had a gun.
Yes.
Why didn't they use the taser first?
The taser, it appears that the taser and the gun were fired virtually simultaneously.
Oh, wow. So it's a big issue.
It is a big issue. There is body-worn camera that illuminates some of the issues, but not all, because the camera is pointed where the person, you know, where the person wearing the camera is pointed, and not necessarily where the action is happening. So you don't see everything. And there's a disagreement about what Mr. Peleas Chavez was doing when he leaned over. It's simply a disagreement.
But one thing I need to inject here. This is so important. This is what democracy is about. This is what oversight's about. Not that there's a good guy or a bad guy. What happened? Why did it happen? Should it have happened? And how can we improve it so it doesn't happen again? And that's the whole point of Ayalero, you know. And you have people that somehow are against this, and that's what I do not understand. What the fight is, you know, when something like this happens, when a life is taken, you know, it's just like if you go, you know, a life is taken, for example, if I shot somebody, I would go to trial, and they would explore every avenue possible, my attorneys, if I had the money. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about looking at an issue. And what bothers me sometimes about this is the first thing we think about, well, he was a bad guy because he was doing this. Well, we don't know that yet. We don't know what this guy was doing. We don't know why. Like you said, there could have been mental problems, all these issues. So it's very impressive to me that if people need to see how important this oversight is. So continue.
Yeah, and I want to clarify, make sure that we're clear. There are two kinds of investigations that are done after a law enforcement officer fatally shoots somebody or bodily, you know, inflicts serious bodily harm. The first is a criminal investigation, and that's what we were just talking about with DA Rodriguez. That's what she was determining. Is there enough evidence to convict the deputy of either, you know, some sort of homicide charge, murder, second-degree murder, manslaughter? That's one question. The second question, which is what Ayalero is looking at, is did the deputy follow policies and procedures that were in place and the law regarding de-escalation, the kinds of things that we have put into place to try and minimize the use of force in law enforcement. And IOLERA's job is to look at and do an independent investigation of the incident and determine whether or not policy was followed, whether procedures were followed, and even if they were followed, whether there should be changes in those procedures and policies.
Well, why wouldn't the district attorney come to you and say, here, this is happening, do your investigation while she's doing her investigation? Why? Because it seems to be the investigation. How can you make a decision until there is a thorough investigation?
The kind of investigation that one does for criminal cases compared to what you do for civil case, administrative hearings like we're talking about for IOLERA, administrative oversight, is very different. And the people being investigated have different rights under those two circumstances. The standard of proof is much higher in a criminal case. What laws you're looking at are different. So there's a big difference. The Santa Rosa Police Department did the investigation for the district attorney. That investigation will now be made available both to the sheriff and to IOLERA, and both the sheriff and IOLERA will conduct independent investigations to determine whether there were administrative violations of policies, procedures, or the law. Very different. Very different investigations.
So you're saying even though her decision came out, you can still investigate and you can still, say, offer more information. So that's the value of it right there. And also, people don't realize it is preventing maybe something happening to them. You have to have these laws in place.
That's right.
So where does it stand right now?
Well, right now, both the sheriff and IOLERA are conducting their independent investigations into the administrative issues. The sheriff has the opportunity, if they find violations of the policies and procedures, to discipline the deputy or deputies. IOLERA has the authority to recommend but not impose disciplinary efforts. So that's where it is right now.
What is your hope? What is your hope that how would you like to see it turn out?
My hope is that this will lead to better policy, better procedure, better understanding of how we respond when people are in mental health crises, how we respond when the people who were involved with don't speak English, because Mr. Pelaez Chavez did not speak English, and neither of the deputies spoke Spanish, so there was definitely a communications problem. I don't think it's up to me to decide whether Deputy Dietrich should be fired or not fired, disciplined or not disciplined. That will be a result of that investigation. There are probably facts that I don't know.
But the most important thing is, even for the deputy, that the investigation, it comes out that this is what happened, was appropriate, he followed procedures, or whatever the decision is. At least it's like you're a member of CLEAN. It's like a CLEAN bill of health when you start thinking about it. So it's very interesting.
Yes, and if it's not a CLEAN bill of health, I think that this gives us the community, an opportunity to look at how can we urge our sheriff's department to do better.
And, you know, the community is still suffering from the Andy Lopez situation. I mean, we just went to a memorial, and it's still not, you know what I mean? It's not solid.
Incidents of fatal uses of force by law enforcement ripple through the community, and those ripples go on and on and on. And I think that we need to acknowledge that. I think that the county needs to acknowledge that, that our elected officials need to recognize that, and that we would all do better if that were the case, if there was a real acknowledgement of the trauma, not just to the family of the person who was injured or killed, but also to the deputies and their families. They're suffering from trauma.
Everybody.
And the whole entire community is.
It's like war. We all suffer. You know, it's not over there. It's everywhere. And, you know, we all suffer. Well, you know, time goes by very quickly. I was going to take a musical break, but I'm not going to take a musical break, folks, because there's something very important that we have to talk about. And one of my question was, is how does Iolero serve the community? And I think, Nancy, with the explanation you gave around Chavez and what's going on, I think you definitely answered that question.
Okay.
I mean, I can feel the intensity, and I also can feel the commitment. I know the commitment from my friend Susan Lamont. I know how deep that is, and I can always feel it with you. And so thank you so much for going into that. But something is very important, and one of the things is how can the community support you? And one of the things that's coming up is this town hall. So why don't we talk about the town hall? Let's talk about when is it happening, where is it happening, and why is it happening, and who should attend?
The town hall is being hosted by a standing committee of the Community Advisory Council. And the Community Advisory Council is a advisory group of volunteers who advise Iolero. And
how,
the sheriff.
How do they get on that board, by the way? Is that a supervisor appointee?
Yes, each supervisor has two appointments, and then John Aldenor, the executive director, has one appointment. So there's a total of 11 people or 11 positions. Right now we're actually still short one person. District 5. So if you're in District 5 and you're interested, please apply. You can apply online through the county.
Who's District 5, do you know?
Linda Hopkins.
Oh, okay.
She appointed me, so I'm happy with her.
Good choice, Linda. So go ahead.
So the Community Engagement Committee is a standing committee because one of the purposes of the Community Advisory Council is to engage the community, to try and improve relations between the community and the sheriff's department, and to let the community be aware of the work of Iolero. So on December 6th...
I just want to say one thing. Not only... It's a community development. This is developed by the community, and I think it's important they need to be there to make sure that it's functioning the way they wanted to and how they voted. So I just
yes.
wanted to put it in. So go ahead.
Great. That's a good point.
Oh, we've only got 4 minutes left.
Okay. So on December 6th at Finley Center from 5 to 7, there will be a hybrid meeting that's going to be in person or on Zoom. It will almost all of it will be a town hall, a listening session. It will give people an opportunity to come and talk about how they feel about the killing of David Pelayo Chavez and the critical incident report issued by the district attorney. It will be in English. There will be Spanish translation provided if people contact Iolero in advance. They will provide it. On Zoom, there will be, there is a translation function. So if you attend on Zoom, you can also receive Spanish translation. It will be from 5 to 7, and I'm hoping that we will get a good turnout and that we can give people the opportunity to just say how they're feeling about what's going on in their community.
Well, all this information will be on Women's Spaces, and you can go on to, I guess, does the Iolero have a website that people can go on?
Yes, it's through this. If you go on to the Sonoma County website and search for Iolero, you'll find it easily. That's probably the easiest way to get to it.
Now, it says here that there's a phone number that to call, 707-565-1534. They want you to RSVP? What do they want you to do?
It would be lovely to know how many people will be there. So if you'd like to RSVP, we encourage it. You can do that either through that phone number or by emailing Iolero. Also, if you would like Spanish translation, that's the way to ask for it.
Now, there's going to be public comment.
It's all public comment.
It's all. Also, this is going to be a real town hall. It's all. Who's on Iolero is facilitating it?
Community Engagement Committee of this.
The
CAC is. Yes.
Okay. So, is there a website? Is there any way they can get a hold of you if they have any questions? Or
through the, they can email me through iolero@sonoma-county.org.
Why don't you spell that out?
Iolero at Sonoma, Sonoma, hyphen, county, County, .org.
Well, Nancy Penn-Burton, this has been a wonderful, wonderful conversation. Any one or two words that you'd like to say to the community as we say so long in this conversation?
Well, I want to thank you and Ken for having me here, and I look forward to hearing from the community and hope that the CAC can provide a great place for them to feel free to talk.
Well, thank you so much. What a wonderful conversation with Nancy Penn-Burton, who is part of the CAC here in Sonoma County. And, you know, I really, for me, what makes me feel good is because I was so involved myself with Andy Lopez, and to see the result of all this coming out now, it really is. Anyway, you've been listening to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And remember, we rerun tonight at 11 o'clock, and I hope you listen then. And I, like I say every week, we must always remember our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. And why do I say that? You know, because children all across the world are suffering, and we really have to pay attention. And as women, we have to stand up and say, enough is enough.
Who will give you courage, and who will surely make you stronger? She's patient and she's waiting, and she'll take you home now. The woman in your life, she can wait so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, November 27th, 2023.